Greatness. It's a shame. I've got so much joy. It's a shame. People get mad at you, man, if you walk in joy. I'm telling you, people will get mad at you because they want you to be grumpy like they're grumpy. It's crazy. This No Shave November is driving me crazy. Man, it grows. It grows like all the way down to my navel. I don't know what to do, Randy. I don't know what to do. Just let it grow, right? Just let it grow like yours. Get all pointy and stuff, shave the side. Just makes you look old. That's all I know. Who said yes? I didn't ask you to agree with me, John. So here we are. Dude, a great week, by the way. And thanks, I don't know if Gary already said this, but thanks to everybody. Y'all did an awesome job. Serving. People always ask me, how many are you serving? I just tell them every year, same thing, all of them. Every one of them, all of them, and even the volunteers, all of them. Because we give out the real stuff. We back in the day, we've learned through the years. And that was number 26, by the way. And, you know, we used to do the easy way, which was cut up turkey breasts and stuff. You know, that's the easy way. The cool way, where it tastes good, is the way we do it now, just kill the bird. I apologize to all vegans in here that... Probably if you're from PETA, sorry. So anyway, obviously Thanksgiving's behind us, and now boom, here's Christmas. I don't know if you're like me, but Christmas is, I'm not explaining it. It's just a bizarre holiday for me because we know what we're supposed to be celebrating. In fact, by the way, in the days to come, Chuck Lankford has put together some really cool stuff. So I'm going to be revisiting the familiar of the Christmas stories and we'll have like a little semi thing before each one, so it's going to be really cool. But today I just wanted to talk about life in general. There was a time in Israel when things were similar to us today. And what I mean by that is, in our country, I'm looking this countrywide right now, in our country and just the way things seem to be, and in their case and what I believe in our case, what was once alive and vibrant, with hope laid barren, just like a stump used to be a thriving tree. I feel that way sometimes. Let me tell you about Israel back in the day. The northern kingdom of Israel had fallen to the Assyrians in Jerusalem, and the south had fallen shortly after that to the Babylonians. The promised land had been overtaken by the enemy. I mean, it was a mess. And many of the Jews couldn't see past that stump of disappointment. It blocked their horizon of any hope for the future. I don't know if you get that. Let me tell you something about Christmas time. Suicides triple at Christmas time. And I think what happens is people get expectations of what Christmas is supposed to do for them, and they try to fulfill that doing for them by buying gifts and receiving gifts and Christmas music and all that. And that just doesn't scratch that itch inside of us, does it? And the Jews were in a very similar situation like that. They couldn't see past the stump of disappointment, like I said. There it was, right in front of them, unfruitful and dead, and it was a testimony to everything that they had believed and lost. All these promises they'd gotten through Abraham and the prophetic words just lay absolutely dead as a doornail right there in front of them. And this was quite the thing for them to try to grow out of, you know, bursting with all. Here their life was bursting. You like that word, don't you? Bursting with all the unfulfilled promises of David's kingdom. It's really true. And I think sometimes we get like that in our own hope. But here's what I want you to see. Yet at just the right time is, by the way, God is always just on the right time. Though we don't really believe that, and we try to help him do things the way that we need him to do things, he is always on. You know, we always say it, he's never in a hurry, but he's always on time. That's a real trite saying, but it is really, really true. But just at the right time, the prophetic voice of Isaiah rang forth to the Israel community. And this is what Isaiah prophesied. This is greatness right here. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will never judge by appearance, false evidence, or hearsay. holy smoke, I like this guy. You know what I'm saying? Listen, years ago, when I was here, we had a ministry called Mobile Ministries. And we were in the process of, it looked like, we were going to be able to buy, purchase apartment complexes. And out of that, through a series of events, was going to put into Mobile Ministries, which was our outreach here, about $25,000 a month. Really, really cool. Well, we had a guy that attended our church, but then left our church right in the midst of all this. Well, meantime, a year later, I receive a letter from this person with all kinds of crazy hearsay and accusations concerning me, that I was embezzling funds from this mobile ministry. Now, let me explain that to you. And at mobile, I'll never forget how much money we had in there, $37.13. $37.13. The whole apartment complex thing never came about, so we had, for that full year that I was being accused, $37.13. In fact, when I told that we had a board for this ministry, and I talked to the board, and I said, fellas, since I've embezzled this, we need to go to lunch and spend $37.13. And out of my embezzlement, I was accused of purchasing property, a big piece of property to build a huge house on. Well, I had purchased a lot to build a house on, yes. And then I was accused of riding a brand new $30,000, $40,000 motorcycle. True. In fact, I had a really cool friend, and he sold Big Dog Bikes. I don't know if you know who Big Dog Bikes are. They're pretty over the top cool. And he let me, Brandy, you love this, he let me break them in. So I actually had a brand new one of these about every 2 months. Because he'd let me do 500 miles on him, then he'd take it back and give me the next one. So, dude, I am riding motorcycles like, you can ask my wife. I was like a hog in heaven, man. I mean, I was excited. But what happened was this whole thing, presumption. Proverbs 13:10, presumption brings nothing but strife. But with counsel, with communication, there's wisdom. So, A, we were supposed to get all this money. Z, I'm doing all this crazy stuff with all this money that I'm stealing. And the truth was, none of it was true. That's what I love about Jesus. I don't care how you judge me, because he doesn't judge me by hearsay. I don't care how you judge me by my appearance. I look homeless. I get it. I'm good with it. Squig didn't even almost know me. Squig, I don't know if you know Squig. Squig's one of our homeless guys. He almost didn't know me when he came to eat Thanksgiving. Not by false evidence. Yeah, we're good. Keep going. He will defend the poor and the exploited. We love that one because we do that part. Isn't it funny how we love the part of the word that is something that we actually do? You know, we don't want to listen to the other part. We just like, oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it keeps going. And he will rule against the wicked and destroy them with the breath of his mouth. He will be clothed with fairness and truth. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard and the goat will be at peace. Calves and yearlings will be safe among lions, and a little child will lead them all. And nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. And as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. And in that day, the heir of David's throne, who would that be? The heir of David's throne, the Lion of Judah, The heir of David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world, and the nations will rally to him, for the land where he lives will be a glorious place. So here, in the midst of all their turmoil, this humongous thing came. But here's what I want you to see. The word's never accident in what it says and does. That word stump is an interesting word. Stump is the part of a tree, watch this, or a bodily part. Anybody who's had an amputation, do you get what I'm saying? Restoration is always better than amputation. And amputation is a serious, serious, serious thing to do, because there's hundreds of, if not thousands, of little nerve endings that have. So a lot of people are like, oh man, he's got gangrene, cut his leg off. Well, it's not as simple as that. So here we have this, the part of a tree, this bodily part that remains attached to the root after the trunk's been cut. And the stump, in this case, is attached to the root, but has no life flowing in it. You hear me? And here's the next thought I wrote down. Maybe a year ago, I'm talking to you now. Maybe a year ago, God's promises to you were larger than life. But with the passing of time and the routine of life, it's the same old this year. This is what Christmas is all about, man. I'm telling you the truth. Because we are walking among the stumps. What happens is, and here's, I wrote this, so what took the wind out of our sails? Sin? Sure, I'll give you that, absolutely. Painful and frustrating circumstances? Loss of purpose? Delayed desires of the heart? Disappointment? Unfulfilled dreams and promises? All those things turned our hopes into stumps. Stumps being dead and barren and unproductive. But here we are at Christmas time, and this is what Christmas is all about. Emmanuel has come. Christmas catches us wandering around all these stumps that haven't worked, asking ourselves why we waste time gardening when God seems to be nowhere to be found. So Christmas arrives when we're looking for a good stump to sit down and give up. Isn't that true? I read an article the other day that 28% of people who are purchasing Christmas on credit cards this year are still owe 20, or they owe 28% on their cards from last year. Yeah. Yeah, so you get Christmas and everybody gets excited and the kids are more, especially the little bitties, they like the cardboard box. They come in more than they like the gift and all that, and everybody has Christmas, and then there's the whole mess, and that whole mess represents $1,500, and you got to pay for it now. But here's what I want you to see very clearly. The Christmas message of Isaiah was the promise of hope. A new branch was going to come forth from an old root, and there was going to be fruit produced on it. Christmas is the time to feel this new breeze of God blowing right in the midst of our failures and our fresh stumps. It's really true. So incorporated in all this hustle bustle and typing your fingers raw as you purchase online now instead of going to the mall. So I want you to fast forward now in your mind. Israel has not heard a prophetic word from the Lord in about 400 years when John the Baptist showed up. Now, understand something. In the Old Testament, prior to Jesus coming, that's all they got to hear from God. God couldn't speak to them through the Holy Spirit that resided within them, because the Holy Spirit didn't reside within them. When Jesus came and died and went to the cross and did his thing, that's when he said, I've got to go so I can send the Comforter and he will live in you. And the same Spirit that lives in me raised Christ from the dead, so he's in me now. They didn't have that. All they had was the prophetic word, and they hadn't had a prophetic word in 400 years since this Isaiah thing. So, like us, when they hadn't heard from God in a very long time, religion replaced relationship. Because that's what happens. When you decide you just don't want Jesus in your life because you think he's harsh or mean or whatever, which is totally not true, then you're going to kick into the religious mode. The religious mode being, I have got to do something so that I can attain my way to God, when in all reality is it's simply walking in the truth of who he is and what he's done, and that's where your relationship is, man. And you will hear the coolest thing about us now, but that Jesus has done his thing, we can hear from God. We can hear from him. And so they had to depend on the prophet's voice because Jesus hadn't arrived. So here's the next scenario. This is out of the message. And this is where John the Baptist was an interesting fellow, man. He didn't look right. He didn't act right. The Bible says he ate bugs. He wore like a athletic supporter. And then really and truly, that's pretty much how much he was covered in. He wasn't shaven. And the Bible says he ate bugs and honey. Now, I don't know if he took the bugs and dipped them and ate the honey, but this was a bizarre dude, man. So, you know, when you haven't heard from God in a while, why would you want to hear from a bizarre dude? You get what I'm saying? You'd like somebody in a three-piece suit that is, but John didn't do that because John was John, and John had a message, and his message was powerful, and we've kind of twisted the power of it, but the whole message of his ministry was all about this thing we celebrate as Christmas. Here we go with the story. While Jesus was living in the Galilean hills, John, called the Baptizer, I call him Baptist John. If he would have put a cowboy hat on him and some chaps, he'd be John the Southern Baptist. Wow, just stuff comes up at you sometimes. So while he was living in Galilee, John called the baptizer, was preaching in the desert country of Judea, and his message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. In other words, he was straight up. He didn't beat around the bush. Hear me. He didn't try to fluff it up. He was straight up. That's why I'm telling you, we've had a lot of people that want to know about our church, and they'll call me, and I tell them, I don't want to be condescending, but man, just come one time. You'll love it or hate it, because we're just who we are. I ain't got no fluff for you, man. I can only speak to you what's in my heart and what I perceive and believe is truth, and if you don't like it, don't let it hurt your feelings. Just my back's turned. Go ahead and leave now. So his message was simple and austere, just like the desert surroundings. He said, change your life. God's kingdom's here. Now, in your other versions, it'll say, repent. And for those of you who've been here a while, you know that word is the word metanoia. And it literally means to change mind. It has nothing to do with penance or groveling or nothing. It has nothing to do with that. But this is what he says. That's why I love the message here. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. And John and his message were authorized by Isaiah's prophecy, thunder in the desert, which is kind of literally what that means when he was prophesying about John. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. So John, watch. Here's what I was talking about. John dressed in a camel hair habit tied at his waist by a leather strap, and he lived on a diet of locusts and wild-filled honey. Bugs and honey, baby. Wow. And people poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordanian countryside to hear and see him in action. And there at the Jordan River, those who came to confess, great word here, exomalagahio, however you say it, that word confess literally means acknowledge openly and joyfully. That word means to acknowledge openly and joyfully that you're full of sin. Do you hear what I'm saying? That is extremely important, because what is we've been taught and what we've tried to do is crawl in the hole and hide from it. You know, we're going to get over here and, oh my God, God, please, oh God, please, oh God, please, oh God, please. Stop, man. Joyfully acknowledge openly and joyfully that you're a piece of junk. Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. Because until you do that, you will never believe that you need him. Until you realize how bad and ugly you are. Oh, the preacher's been really good at that over the years, tell you how bad and ugly you are, but they never told you the good side, that Jesus died for you, so that doesn't have to happen. We'll get there in a minute about what John was proclaiming about this Christmas message of this wonderful Jesus. So you're going to, he said, they're the journey. He said, confess their sins, and they were baptized into a changed life. And excuse me, and when John realized that a lot of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the church folks, were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do. Huh? God does a magnificent and crazy move in somebody's church, and here comes everybody else wanting a piece of the pie. Wow. It's just in human nature, man. That's why we died with him. Showed up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do. He exploded. You brood of snakes! What do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? You think a little water on your snake skins is going to make a difference? And then what he's saying is, you know, I can dunk you in water. I can hold you down till the bubbles don't come up. But you can come up you can come up unchanged just as much as you went down. You just come up wet and unchanged. And that's what he's saying. Do you think a little water in your snake skin is going to change anything? If it's your life that must change, not your skin. Change. The word in some of the translations is repent. The word is literally metanoia, with meta, meaning change. Noah, nous, is the mind. Meta, mind. Change your mind. There's nothing in there concerning groveling before God and begging him. Why would the word say it is his kindness that leads me to repentance if it was really the word repentance? It's my kindness that leads you to fall down before me and grovel? No, it's his kindness that leads us to a change of honest change of mind and heart. That's where life is. Life is in repentance, but it's in the word metanoia. I've done a whole study on that, and it drives me. By the way, if you want it, email me. I did a whole, like a 5-page paper on it. They just changed it because they wanted to. I'm talking about people did. They just took the word metanoia out and added in the word panicia, which means penance. Sorry. It's your life that must metanoia, not your skin. And don't think that you can pull rank by claiming Abraham is your father. Being a descendant of Abraham is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's dead wood, it's going to get burned. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life into a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom of life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God, and everything false he'll put out in the trash to be burned. John was straight up. You see how straight up he was? He was straight up. He didn't beat around the bush. But the point is, in all of this, what you hopefully can see is he was telling you, it is about this Jesus guy, not you. So, John's message at the river, this Christmas message, it's the same. John, let me put it. John's message at the river is the same message of this Christmas season. Metanoia. Change your mind. Literally, why do you think Jesus said, I will transform you by the renewing of your mind, not your heart. Stop. He wants you to change. When you start thinking right, you'll start living right because you're thinking right. You know, well, I'll get there. I just have two more thoughts, but they have one of them's got a lot of scripture because we have got to come to grips with something here concerning sin. Concerning sin. Sin. Sin is the word hermartia, and it literally means to miss the mark. So if you're driving down the street and you're going to go to right here at the corner, we got a church's chicken, and you turn right instead of left, you have just sinned. Because you missed the mark. Do you hear me? So when people tell me that I'm a man of grace and that I'm just saying sin's nothing, I'm telling you, sin is bigger than you've ever seen. Sin is anything you do. Sin is when you get up angry. Sin is when you go to bed mad. Sin is when you and your wife won't touch each other, and if you do accidentally, you're still mad because you had a fight. You get it. Sin is if you drink too much iced tea. See, we want to talk about drinking too much booze. No, all of us drink iced tea, so we don't want to talk about that. You get it. Sin is me eating too many Twinkies. He's shouting me down, isn't he? Either that or I'm scaring him. Look at her. Carrying a child, carrying two children at the same time. That's incredible. That's incredible. Okay, so metanoia, he's saying, change your mind. I'm going to show you one of the keyest ones that I believe right now in the kingdom in the United States of America. I don't live in other countries, so I don't know what's going on there. But in the United States of America, there is a metanoia that needs to occur among God's people. Not just people that aren't God's people. Among us who proclaim that we love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus, by the way, you're going to love other people no matter who they are. Right. I need to sneak that in there because it's true. If you got a little hatred in there, that's sin. Now, I can stand up here and tell you all the sin in my life, but we would be here till the Cowboys play on Thursday. All right, so we won't go there. But we have to change, we have to metanoia our belief that our education, our judgments, and our opinions matter. Because they do not. Boy, y'all got quiet now. Because they do not matter. They do not matter. I don't give a rip what you put on Facebook or any other social media. I don't care how passionate you are. Your opinion does not matter at all, period. And I promise you, no matter what you post, you ain't going to change the mind of anybody else. You just post it so you can hopefully get likes from the people who are just as mean as you are. Oh, you liked that, didn't you? Because it's true. Well, let's use the word here. I love this. I love this, man. I love this. Stop deceiving yourselves. I wrote this down. Deceiving is the word, I'm going to say it right, exopatio, and it literally means to cheat yourself. this deception, you're cheating yourself. Deception cheats you because you don't get the full truth of what's going on. We deceive ourselves when we think we're anything outside of who, outside of being in Jesus. You were deceived to think that you have the power to do anything outside of Him. You don't. You don't. But the cool thing is when you stay in Him, it's awesome. It's awesome. I love staying in Him. I still go outside of Him sometimes, but then I sin. Oh, I'm back. I am. Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you're wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. Because the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. I'll never forget about 7-8 years ago, I read an article in the papers, just a little blurb, and it said, scientists have finally proved that mankind came about by a couple, one couple in the beginning. And I'm like, it took you that long? Dude, read Genesis. Yeah. In the beginning. You get it. We're just so full of ourselves. Man, you'll never really have joy, love, and peace in your heart if you really think you got all the answers. It ain't going to happen. But man, when you can look at somebody and go and ask you a question, you go, you know, John, I don't know, but I'll check it out. Man, still, oh, you know what? I don't care what you think. I have a friend on Facebook that's here today, so I'm not going to look in his direction. So I'll look over here, so you know which side. Now you know which side he's sitting on. And he sent me this thing about this guy's opinion on the end times and all this blah, 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 blah. And he asked me what I thought. And I said, I'll tell you what I thought. And this was a scripture that I sent him, told him. And I said, you know what? If we would take the same energy that we do to try to prove ourselves and take that energy and love somebody and serve somebody, holy smoke, could we change the world? But here's what I told him, because it's true. This guy's got it all down about, you know, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. Look, let me tell you something about it. You know, you got pre-tribulation, we're gonna get out of here before it happens. Mid-tribulation, we're going to do 3.5 years. Post-tribulation, we're going to have to do all 7 years. Look, I am a pan-tribulationist. It's going to pan out, and I don't give a rip. You hear what I'm saying? My time's too precious to me to have to decide how important I am by proving something to you. But I want you to understand one thing concerning that. The first time they didn't get it right, the first time they thought Jesus was going to come and show up in Jerusalem, he's going to be on a big old white horse, and he was going to overtake the kingdom of the Romans and give it back to the Jews. And what did he do? He came in the back of an unwed, shamed mother on a donkey and was born in a cave. And a bunch of stinky shepherds were the first one to be told instead of the king's proper. So I don't think we'd have a clue what's going to happen anyway. It's just a waste, in my most humble opinion. Oh, it's a waste of time, because in the meantime, the fish swim by, man. As we decide and determine how everybody's right and wrong, meantime, you got people just swimming by. And so you get them out of the way. Man, I don't have time for that. I got to prove my point. So you got to change your mind. Let's finish this scripture. Sorry, I got stuck. For the wisdom of this world's foolishness to God, as the scripture says, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, it says, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and he knows that they're worthless. I don't know how more clear you can be, ladies and gentlemen. That one was, that was stuck in my craw, so I got it out, so you'll be all right. The last of these is a bunch of scriptures, because this is what we have to change our belief. Change your mind, metanoia your belief, that you can deal with sin on your own and be righteous. That has got to change in our thinking. Wait a minute, Steve. If I don't deal with my sin, how can I be righteous? Exactly. Look, most of you know this story. I was a mess back in the day. Well, still am, I guess. I just don't do the drug side. But I was a mess. I was about 90-pound drug addict mess. And I ran into Jesus by this crazy accident, if you will. But what happened was, and I've shared this before, this is very important to understand. I was so fascinated because I actually got to the point of saying, if you're real, dude, I need help. You know, and I was raised in church. People would quote me scripture, you know, trying to save me. And I had no more scripture than they did. So I'd quote it back. And then, you know, then what do they do? Then what do they do? And then I'd throw a cuss word at them. And then they'd run because, oh, my God, he's fixing to get killed. God's going to slay him. But I got desperate, bottom line, and I'm like, dude, if you're real, I need your help here before I, because my plan, if you read the book, you'll know this. My plan was to kill this guy that had killed my dog. And I know that sounds silly, but it's true, because that's where I was. My dog's the only thing I had in my life. My dog was my God, if you will. And dogs are kind of like God in that no matter what mood I'm in, Jesus is always there for me. In the same way with a dog, man, I could be screaming at that dog and it'd still be just wagging his tail. You know, I could be bawling my eyes out because I really had no friends because I was a drug addict and I was a functioning drug addict, which means I had a job. And so all they wanted was my drugs, I decided. And a lot of that was true. But the only thing I had in my life that was steady for me was my dog, and this dude killed it. So I was going to kill this man. I had it all perfectly planned out. But there was this inkling in me that maybe God does, not just are you there to help, but maybe he does, maybe kind of like me if I do something right, right? And so I was like, God, I'm desperate. Well, then, as I just did that and began to let him hold me, I realized I was ready for him to punish me. Punish me. Go ahead and punish me. I don't mind that. I'll grab my ankles, whatever you want. I did that. You know, just so you know, man, in school, for those of you who aren't as old as me, back when we went to school, we got SWATs. And that's what they call them, SWATs. And they learned tricks over the years because in the first beginning, they just would have a flat paddle, but they learned to bore holes in them so that the air could go through so that it could whop you big time. And, man, my record was 32 SWATs in one day, and they only gave them in eight increments. So do the math yourself. Eight times, that's six, right? 36, whatever it was. And then you have to go home and face the wrath of your parents. You know, so those are the days. So when you would go into the office, that's what they would say, grab your ankles, because they wanted to make sure that it was tight, you know, so they could just whap you. And I never deserved one of them. But so that's the exact words I said to God. I'm like, dude, go ahead and do this punishment part, whatever that part is. I'm ready. And he wasn't there. He just wanted to hold me. And I'm like, no, that's not what I've been taught. And so for 6 months, I was so fascinated with this God that I had determined was a big old eyeball ever searching the earth to squash me like a bug and send me to hell when I do one thing wrong. That was my concept. It was never said that way, but that's what you got taught to yourself in church. I went from that to, how can somebody that the Word tells me knows me better than I know myself love me more than anybody could? And I was so fascinated with that. For 6 months, I'm telling you, for 6 months, I was in college, and I had gotten back in college my third time. That's another story. I got kicked out twice, only once for selling drugs. The other time was because we tied up a night clerk, and never mind. It's so true. I still laugh. You know what? I actually saw him later on in my life, and I'm like, he goes, oh, man, it's all good. You know, I'm like, okay, well, we had put him in the second. We had three wings. My wife didn't like that. We had three wings of our dorm. We'd put him in second wing. Well, we didn't realize second wing was closed, so they didn't find him for like 3 days. You know, so I'm like, oh, guys, he's going to starve to death, except for we did cover him with cornflakes and syrup, so he could have eaten if he could have got the thing off his mouth. Anyway. Those are good times, y'all. Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that. So I was so fascinated with who he was and how he loved me that I was so focused. And this is before I had this understanding. I was so focused on him. I, honest to God, woke up one morning and thought, I haven't smoked a doobie in 6 months. I haven't dropped a hit. I was a speed freak, so I did White Cross back in the day. I was doing 60 White Cross a day, 60, man. And I woke up, and I don't have that testimony of, well, you know, I've been clean since 1973, August the 3rd at 3 o'clock. I have no idea. All I know is I woke up, I had been so focused on him, it wasn't on me anymore. That's where sin dies. Do you hear me? It's when you get so fascinated with the one that you've been searching for your whole life. All of us want somebody that will just love us for who we are, not to have to put the pretty makeup on or put the nice clothes on or say the right things or have the more money. It's just somebody, could you just love me just for who I am, absolute warts and all. Just as, yes, oh yeah, I did cuss. Yeah, but could you, And here he is. That's him. And we don't allow that because we've thought differently concerning him. So if you get anything out of the rest of this message today, you need to understand that he crazy loves you, whether anybody else does or not. It's just true. And the whole, all you got to do is believe it and receive it. Because if you believe it and receive it and don't doubt it, you'll do without it. Cast your bread out on the water, it'll come back buttered. So, Matanoa, change your mind that you can deal with sin on your own and be righteous. A slew of scripture, because you need to get this in your heart. For everyone has sinned. Stop. That is everyone. That does not exclude anyone, even if you know somebody who you believe has never sinned, or if you feel like you are in the wrong place if you feel like you've never sinned. Seriously, because we are just a church full of stupid sinners that are loved and saved by the grace and love of Jesus, and it's the truth. So everybody has sinned. Grab this in your heart. And we've all fallen short of God's standard. What is God's standard? Listen, don't throw out the law. The law incorporates God's standard. But then it goes beyond that because when Jesus came, he made it more difficult. Do you remember? He said, I didn't come to abolish it. I came to fulfill it. And so now you've heard it said, did not hate your brother. I'm telling you, you've got to love him. Well, that Roman says you got to go a mile with him and carry. Well, then go 2 miles with him. See, that doesn't, listen, that was so important back then because the Romans was the bosses of the government. And if they came up, they had all authority to tell any Jewish person that they had to carry their cloak or carry their sword or carry whatever. And the law at that time in the Roman law was you had to carry it. If they wanted you to carry it at least a mile, you have to carry it the whole mile. And then Jesus comes in and said, you've heard it said, you carried a mile. I'm telling you, you carry it 2 miles. And he asked for your coat. Give him your pants too. And that's crazy. I can't do that right, which is what the proof is. The law was made so that we would have no excuse. The law was given so that we could see how ugly we are. Because until we see how ugly we are, we will never change. Because we won't see the need of him. We'll be drowning and we won't yell for the lifeguard. Because we can do this on our own. So, yet God, so everybody sinned, we all cannot get to the standard, yet God with undeserved kindness declares that we're righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin, so people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life. That's how you're made right with God. The problem is, for a lot of folks, is we don't want to admit sin. And I'm telling you, if we're going to be sticky on sin, it's everything that's hit is missing the mark. So it makes it impossible, Steve. That's exactly what he wants you to see. It makes it impossible to do. You cannot do it, which is why he did it. Do you hear it again? You can't do it. If you haven't figured that out yet, then you're arrogant, and that's even worse because you're deceiving yourself. You're cheating yourself of the blessing of who Jesus is. He took care of all of this on the cross so that we can believe, and when we believe that he did that, there is something that changes in us that's powerful. So, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin, people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Next scriptures, it's in Romans, same Romans, different chapter. We died and we were buried with Christ. Now here's what's cool there. Normally that word with is the word en in the Greek language, and it can mean with or in or beside or whatever. That's not what this word. This word literally means we died with him. We were together with him. Do you hear me? When we die with him, we're together with him. So, for we died and we're buried with Christ by baptism. That's what water baptism is all about. It's not about, so you can be a church member or something. Water baptism is about you're standing there, ugly, terribly, horribly person that you've always been. You recognize the need for a Savior, so you're going to be buried with Christ as he was buried in the grave. And we hold you down for 3 days. Just kidding. And then you come up to what? To new life, like Jesus came up to new life. That's what baptism represents. I have been baptized at least 15 times, on purpose, by the way, because we only need it once. I get, I'm not doing the rule book here. I get you only need it once. But there are other people tell you you're going to burn in hell if you don't get it. I want to remind you when the guy was on the cross and he said, Jesus, please remember me when you go to heaven. And Jesus said, today you'll be in paradise. Did he jerk him down off the cross and dunk him? Thank you very much. I'm so tired of that, man. Baptism is powerful. I've been baptized 10, 15 times. Why? Because every time I'm baptized, it is a reminder to the enemy that I have greater power than he's ever had, and that when I come up alive, I come up alive. It's powerful. Water baptism is powerful. But it's not just an ordinance of the church. Yes, it's an ordinance of the church. I get it. And yes, the word tells us to do it. Absolutely. But I want you to understand, and that's what he's saying. Man, look, just as Christ was raised from the dead, you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and just as Christ raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we all can live new lives. If you aren't living a new life, hear me, you got to get your belief system right. You've got to metanoa. You've got to change. Change what? Change your thinking that you can do something into your thinking that he did it all. Change. It's all about our mind change. He wants to metamorpho. It's the word for change, for the word transform, where it says, I want to transform. Metamorpho. Remember I said metanoa, meta meaning change, and nous meaning mind. That's where metanoa comes from. Metamorpho is the change of what? Inside, character, everything. Look, I don't have to tell people if I'm a Christian or not. They know it. You know why they know it? Not from any words of my mouth. That's crazy, because sometimes my mouth doesn't say right things. They know it because of a change of character. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's why when these people come in, it just fascinates me. We serve some of these people, and somebody asked me at this one, they're like, do they come that often? I'm like, yes. Yeah, you hug him. Yes. You probably smell. Yes. That's why I take baths. You know, yeah. But they know I love them. They. Who's they? Oh, the underprivileged, the unwanted, the unlovable, the whatever. Pick you, whatever. I just love it, actually. Oh, man. Okay, let's go to the next one. I got about four or five more. You know, we know that our sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin could lose its power. When you really believe that, listen, when you really believe that, sin will lose its power. Until you really believe that, sin won't lose its power, because you won't really believe it. Because you believe that you've got to somehow try to fix it. Until you get to the point of desperation that I was, where I was like, man, God, if you're real, I need help. And you just let him love on you. And that was the hardest part, to let him love on me. Because how can you love me like that? But that's his love. But once we receive that kind of love, that makes it easier for us to love like that for other people. Those very people you hate, you don't want to be around, that get on your last nerve. John, you know, you ever met anybody like gets on your last nerve?
Oh, no.
Never, me neither, son. I love it. Don't ever sit in the front if you don't want me to talk to you. Or if you do, just make sure I don't know your name. So we know that our sinful selves were crucified with Christ, that sin can lose its power. We're no longer slaves to sin. If you're still in slavery to sin, You're rebuilt, your transformed mind will get you to where you're no longer a slave to sin. Because when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of it. The Word doesn't just say that to say it, guys. It's true. What Christ did on the cross was everything that ever had to happen for mankind. The problem is we don't believe it. When we start believing that we died with him and believe that we are free from the power of sin, it no longer holds us to it. We have to believe, man. You've got to believe and understand who Jesus is. The fact that it's just amazing that I am this horrible, wretched, sinner, sinful natured human being. And here's the perfect one that goes to the cross. Here I am, the imperfect one, and the perfect one goes to the cross and dies for the imperfect one so that the imperfect one can be viewed as perfect. So, when God looks at the cross, He sees me, and it's ugly. It's ugly. But when He looks at me, He sees Jesus. It's called substitution. He's my substitute teacher for eternity. He did that for me. It's crazy. It's crazy. Next. When He died, He died once to break the power of sin. But now that He lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin. Dead men can't sin. Dead men can't sin. I've had friends that have died in the past. And it's like, that's good, because now they can't sin. So you should consider yourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to God. It's not just about being dead to sin. No, it's being alive to God. And that's where life happens. That's where zoe, the Greek word is zoe, which is life, which is incorporates every avenue of your life, physically, mentally, all areas of your life. Man, it's awesome. Go ahead and keep going. And sin no longer is your master. So if you're still master till you sin, then you got to change. You got to metanoia away your thoughts. Sin's no longer your master because you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Hear it very clearly. You no longer, and that is not a justification of sin. That is silly. You no longer live under those. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. What does that mean? You no longer live under you having to figure out how to get to heaven. You now live under the freedom of that Jesus took care of everything on the cross, and all you got to do is walk in Him. Woohoo. This is, you know what I love about this? I can see y'all. Man, you're somebody chewing it and getting it. And, wow, I've never, good. Stay there. Keep chewing on that. I love it. Over the last 10 years, I've had at least 15 people at one point in time. One of them, I think I can go ahead and say his name was Drew, Steve Troyer's son. They would come up to me after service and go, you know what, I'm really getting it. I'm really getting it. But it's like he got it just one time. I mean, he got it like it was like the entire burst. Because I finished service and he comes running at me. And I'm like, oh, Drew, I hope you're happy, you know. And he grabs me and it wasn't Drew, it was Scotty. That's who it was. I got it backwards. Why didn't you correct me? You just didn't want to, did you? Because you're just the sound guy. You should have just shut the sound down and I'd say, you're right, it was Scotty. Anyway, he's got another son. It was Scotty. And he grabbed me and just screaming, I got it, I'm getting it, I got it, I'm getting it. I'm like, okay, Scott, I'm so glad. Thank you. It's a radical change. It's a radical metamorpho. You hear me? It's a radical metamorpho. Again, that's the transformation that happens when you metanoa. When you change your mind, your change of heart comes. You get it? So, sin no longer is your master. You no longer live under those requirements. You live under the freedom of God's grace. Next. I think I'm about to run out, right? I love it, run out. I can give more, though. Where am I at? Oh, okay. I got two more. This one and the next one. Thank God that once you were slaves, you were slaves. When you accepted Christ in your life was the day that you were stopped being a slave to sin. But no, Steve, I was still, no. You are not a slave to sin. You've got to believe that you're not a slave. You get it. You get what I'm saying. And that sounds corny and that might sound, you know, that's a formula. It's not a formula. What happens is when you get like I did, so fascinated with this guy that loves you so much and you just hang with him. I accidentally did this. I would just hang with him just going, man, you can't love me like that, but I feel that you love me like that. And it was just every day after day after day. And I didn't have time to worry about sin because I was so focused on him. That's why, guys, you're hearing me say it all the time. You are either Jesus conscious or self-conscious. Jesus conscious or self-hatred. Jesus righteous or self-righteous. Do you get it? Man, and when you hang with him, just hang. What do you mean hang with him? I mean, I've said this a billion times. Get two chairs, put a donut on one, and you have the other donut. And you sit there and you talk to Jesus that's in that chair. And at some point in time, you're welcome to say, you know, are you going to eat that? And I've actually done this several times. I'll tell you what, there'll be a day. I say, are you going to eat that? And he eats it. That's when I'll be like, okay, no, I'll just kidding. Just kidding. No, do you hear what I'm saying? Because for so long I thought he was not for me, he was against me. That I had to somehow go to him with a list of what I will fix so that he can help me. Until I finally am in a relationship with him where I can just go in there and go, what a day. I mean, I just had this crazy conversation with him. This is the first time that's happened where we had so much media presence at any one given thing. We will always get a newspaper person or somebody at one of the two Thanksgiving or Christmas. But this one, we made front page newspaper. Then from that, KRLD calls me and does a radio thing. Then from that, Channel 4 comes out. And then the day of, Channel 5. So we're like newspaper, radio, two Channel 4. So I'm here, I'm having this great conversation with God. And I'm just like, dude, this is crazy. What is going on? And here's the thing, you know what he did? Because I'm in a relationship with him. He reminded me about 58 times where somebody else got in the paper and we didn't. Yeah, remember when you said, well, you've been doing it longer than they have? Remember when you said, oh, come on, God. Come on, man. But see, I don't grovel, but I don't have to do that. I love those conversations. I've had some great conversations with God. I had God wink at me one time. I had an old 1959 Volkswagen Beetle bug. And I had it, it was in California. And I drove it all the time. It was driving me crazy. Not a big deal, but it was driving me crazy that my speedometer wasn't working. Well, it is a big deal the way I drive. But those, you can't go very fast in those things anyway. But it was just bugging me. And one day in my frustration, I'm like, you know, you could fix that. And I'm like, dude, I didn't ask. It's like the genie. I didn't ask big enough. I should have said, you can give me $1 million. No, but then when that happened, if I've ever sensed anything, I just felt like he winked at me like that would be hard. You know, so thank God we were slaves of sin, but now we wholeheartedly obey this teaching. Obey, man. We love that word obey, and then we immediately attach obey to things that you have to do. Obey the teaching. You agaleon's the word, and it's called the good news. When anytime they say go preach the good news of the gospel, the word gospel is the word you agaleon, which literally means good news. So anytime you see the word gospel in the Bible, it means good news. It doesn't mean bad news. It means you agaleon, which is the good news of what Christ did for you on the cross. When you obey that teaching that we've given you, it's Paul who's talking, and if you can't read about Paul and talk and see how much he understands this whole thing about grace, you'll never get it. So he said, and when you obey this teaching we've given you, now you'll be free from that slavery to sin. And you have become slaves to righteousness, which, by the way, that word righteousness means the condition that is acceptable to God. You do not have a condition that is acceptable to God. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags, and it's true. But we do have a position that is acceptable to God in Jesus, because when Jesus died and did his thing on the cross, the Bible says, as we read earlier, he declares you righteous. Wow. And so you've been slaves to righteousness, and you become slaves to righteous living. Next. This is the killer. This is the last, I think. No, I got one more after this. No, I don't. Where am I at? I am lost. Oh, there. Yeah, this is the last one. This kind of sums up everything that I believe John was saying too. Jesus even mentioned this a lot. When Jesus talked about fruit, you will bear fruit. You go to Galatians chapter 5, and he talks about the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We try to do the fruits of mankind. We can't. The fruit, the love fruit of mankind is not the same as the love fruit of the Spirit. You get it? So, But now you're free from the power of sin. Again, another scripture that says we're free from it and have become slaves to God. Now, do these things. That word is the word karpos. Great word. It's the same word you'll look. If you go to where the fruits of the spirits are, that's the same word, karpos, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. For whatever reason, this is how it was translated. So now that you do these things, that you do these fruits of the Spirit, that you have love, joy, peace, that you're long-suffering with other people, that you're good, you're kind, and then you become temperate in your things of, you know, wanting to eat so many Twinkies and stuff. I can only talk about me because I'm the Twinkie. You know what's really the saddest part about Twinkie, by the way, just so you know? Those Twinkies last like 100 years. So I could have a Twinkie in my office and start talking to me. Hey, I'm over here. But it could be there for years and years, and it would still be good and tasty. It's sin. Here, we know this scripture, don't we? Watch this. So now that you allow the fruits to be grown in you that lead you to the approval of heart and life, and it results in your eternal life, because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. We all know that scripture. The wages of sin, what we earn, what you earn, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So what am I saying? I'm done now. Let me conclude. How do I get off this stump? How do I get off this stump of unfulfilled desires, hurts, whatever? And when I say unfulfilled desires, you might not be a lot like me in this, but I am. I have unfulfilled desires that I have created that I have failed in. Is that fair? None of us do that. I get that. But so I'm just talking to me. But here's how I get off the stump. I realize that this Christmas, this wonderful thing of Christ coming as a child, is a gift. It's not a tiring and futile attempt to get to God. Listen. It is God coming to us, not us going to God. The Word says very clearly, I picked you, you didn't pick me. Well, God, I did pick you. No, I picked you. You didn't pick me. He is so good, and I am so not. But when you really understand that, what freedom you will walk in from the very thing that you've been trying to do on your own to get rid of. Christmas says, behold, Emmanuel, the promise is here. Our love and our wrath, our fears and our dreams, our faith and our doubt, our best and our worst will be underneath the peaceful domain of Jesus Christ our Lord. Christmas is God saying, I will do all I said that I would do. So John shouted, there's one greater than me that's coming. So now we don't have to do it all by ourselves. My last thought was this, because it's true. Christmas always catches me by surprise, but it always comes when I need it most. Amen? You good? I'm finished. Okay. My wife hadn't been feeling well, so I didn't know how she was. Because I know that all of you saw her sitting over here and me sitting over there. You thought we had a big old fight. I told you, we have never talked divorce, just murder. Stand with me. Father, as we come into this season of Christmas, obviously we have what we do here at the church and the serving and all that, and that's really cool, but Lord, I know there's people in here that are hurting. Father, they're hurting, and of course it could be from their own choices and stuff. It's not the point. The point is I know you, and I know that you have your arms open wide to all of us. We just have to choose to fall into those arms. And God, I know that this will be a Christmas time where someone has died, and this will be their first Christmas without them. I just pray comfort in those areas. Father, I know this is a time where we anticipate Christmas, but then when it gets here, we want it to help pull us out of the crazy funk that we're in, but we get disappointed in that. So, Lord, I pray that amongst us in these coming days, good Lord, we're about a month away, and with all the Christmas music and all the fun times and good times, I just pray you help us to rest in the promise that even out of that old stump that seems to never have growth, that a new shoot sprung forth, and they call him Emmanuel, the Messiah, Yeshua Yamashiach, the Lion and the Lamb. Though he comes in like a lamb, he goes out like a lion. And Father, I just pray that you'll remind us of that. And Lord, those of us who maybe got a little bit of this today, of the power of sin is really and truly broken, we just have to begin to walk in that. I just pray you help us to focus on you and your goodness, that we don't have to sneak in, that you tell us to boldly come in there because of what Christ did for us. Man, I wish you would place in folks that thing that you've placed in me, that I'm really okay, that I'm really okay, and that you love us. So Father, as we go from here today, I just speak that kind of peace no matter what's happening. Let that peace that passes all understanding. And we thank you for that. Amen. Amen. And just so you...